Great. Well, now we'll go to something a lot easier, just the plain old scriptures from the Word of God. So if you do have a Bible, you can turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I did emphasize, so 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And we're going to read into the whole of chapter 4 as well, but I won't read the whole of that, but just some selected parts of it. And I really want to encourage you that the Word of God is alive and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will never return void. It has the power to transform our lives and people's lives. And it has done all over the world for the last 4,000 years. As people have heard the Word of God, the living Word of God. It was spoken originally even by God to people like Moses. You know, take your shoes off because the place you're standing is holy ground. And God has appeared to people and spoken His Word. And then on Mount Sinai, He gave the law to Moses, and He wrote it inscribed in stone, tablets of stone. That's the first we know of the actual inscribed Word of God. But it's available in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, and in Greek, in the New Testament, and Aramaic in a few parts. And it speaks powerfully, and it will speak to our hearts today. So I trust that you will hear the Word of God and receive it with joy. And I'm going to read from chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory," or reflect the Lord's glory, "are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And then chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, and we do not use deception nor distort the Word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And those, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of God, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So I'm going to skip on a little bit to verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body." And I'm going to skip again a little bit more just to verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts through your word, and we thank you so much for your word that is life and transformation to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, just thank you again for the tremendous encouragement and support that we have received from this church. It's for over 15 years or more. And we came here in the sort of 2005, 6 sort of period. We knew Julian and Bernice Gui, and Bernice was an elder of the church, or one of the leadership. And we were friends in Malawi. And I remember coming in those early years and even saying, you know, God has called us to Tanzania and we are trusting God to have 20 projects in Tanzania. And we had 10 at the time. And we were sort of praying and keeping on. And I'd come the next time and say, yeah, we're still hoping for 20. But I can tell you today we have 29 in Tanzania. And 23 are solely run by the Word for the World. Our initial 10 were in partnership with another ministry called Pioneer Bible Translators. So the Word of God is really spread in Tanzania, and it continues to spread, not only in Tanzania, but in Ethiopia we have over 30, and we have now 205 language projects, and there's about 240 that another 30 or 40 are in the pipeline, and the work is just growing more and more. And in 2000, well, actually it was in 1991, so I've been a Bible translator for a long time now, and that's hence the white beard. But yes, we started the Word for the World second project, and now we have, you know, it was the Senna Bible, and it was published. We only have 5 full Bibles, but there are 6 ready at the cusp of being printed and distributed. So there will be 11 Bibles in the Word for the World, which we praise God for. But it's still only just a drop in the bucket, really. It feels like there's still so much that still needs to be done. And I've had the privilege of going to Tanzania and starting these 10 projects. In 2004, we went to Tanzania. And in 2000, we started doing 10 languages all at once, which was quite a shock to the translation world, that a Bible translator and a consultant would check 10 languages all at once. But I thank God that we did publish those 10 New Testaments in 2016, all 10, after being in Tanzania for about 10 years. And now I went to India, just this is just a testimony of God's power and enablement. And thank you for your prayers and support, because you are part of the amazing success that the Word for All has seen. I went to India from UK in 2014, and we started training a Bible translation group, and there were 10 languages all together in one venue, and then another venue there were 6 languages. And by God's grace, within 5 years of starting training till getting consultant checking and publishing was 5 years to get 16 New Testaments published. So this is unprecedented speed and amazing that God is getting his word in the hands of people in a shorter space of time. And I will remind you that when I went to Malawi, we only had WordPerfect 5.1. And we had DOS, and we were using a DOS program to try and get our, you know, Bibles entered in. But now we have really good technology through the development of amazing technology. And now even we are recording translations orally, and being able to produce them within a week or two to let the people group hear the Word of God. And it can be shared through mobile phones and downloads and all sorts of things. So I do believe we are going to see an acceleration of the Word of God getting into the hands of people in an unprecedented way in the next 5 to 10 years. So we are encouraged. But as we look at the Word of God together this morning, just briefly, I won't keep you here for more than 15 minutes longer. So just to encourage us all that, you know, it says in that verse 18 that we who have unveiled faces all reflect or can contemplate the glory of God. And we are being transformed with an ever-increasing degree of glory to become more like God, in the image of God. Which is absolutely marvelous. And you know, when the law was given, at this particular passage, if you look back in your heading there, it talks about the fact that we are ministers of a new covenant. And we have this ministry. Paul was the one who said that this has been kept hidden for long ages past, but now revealed, that the Holy Spirit can live in a human being. The triune God can live within us, and we can be transformed. Because Moses received the law, and that came with glory. And wherever he went into the tabernacle, his face became so shining full of the glory of God that when he went out, he'd have to put a veil over his face because the people were kind of couldn't even look on his face because of the glory of God. And it goes on to say, how much more was the glory that was revealed that came through Jesus Christ? That's the new covenant. So we are ministers, all of us, male and female, young and old, ministers of a new covenant. We can tell our neighbors and our friends about Jesus, and we have the glory of God that is reflected on our face, because people can see the difference in our lives. They could see it on Moses' face, and I promise you the world can see something about you that is different. And it's true to say that, even as Julie was saying, you know, the Bible in the mother tongue is the best missionary, but also we are like jars of clay. We are just ordinary human beings, yet we carry this image or the glory of God that is reflected on our faces. because our faces are unveiled. The veil in the temple was torn in two, and we can have access to our Heavenly Father. And the more we spend time with the Lord, the more we allow His Spirit to fill us, the more our faces shine. The more we become the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved. But it also goes on here to say, as we read, that a veil still covers the faces of those who don't know the Lord. So they don't know the glory of God. They don't see it because it's hidden from them, because they are separated from this holy God by sin. But as we proclaim the word, and as the word of God takes root in their lives and they turn to Christ, the veil is taken away. And that's what it says just in that verse above. So we have this veil, but it says everyone who turns to the Lord has this veil removed. And then we can reflect the glory of God. So as a believer, it's so wonderful as I travel the world, on aeroplanes or wherever I go, and even going to Nepal, first time that I went there. And thank God for His protection, actually, because many of you will have read that about 3 weeks ago, a plane crashed in Nepal and 68 people died. And that plane left from Kathmandu, which is where we landed. Many of us came to do this training from different countries, about 7 different countries. And we were supposed to do the training in Pokhara, exactly where the plane crashed. But because of my wheelchair, the leadership decided, let's rather do the training in Kathmandu, where international flights arrive. And praise God that even my wheelchair, hopefully, maybe even spared a few lives of the Word for the World's people, because it was decided not to go to Pokhara that very day to start our training on the Monday. But we need your prayers for protection, and Satan doesn't really want us to be doing this work, and we all had to go there on tourist visas, because even in Nepal, the gospel is not freely, you're not free to just preach the gospel, and if they'd have heard that we were coming to train all these translators, we would have been in trouble. But we went to this hotel and were able to train without any hindrances or problems. But you know what I love about my work, and I love about meeting people from all over the world, is that I can see this glory of God in them. There's no difference between us. We are one in Christ. And there's a tremendous sense of unity and camaraderie, and you can know when somebody loves the Lord. It just shines out of them, and they talk the same language that you talk, even though it might be a foreign language, but we can communicate through English most of the time. But some of our people that came to the training were Vietnamese, and they didn't know any English, so we had an interpreter for them. But we have this incredible witness with our spirit, with another person, that they are a child of God. And that's an amazing thing. And I just want to also reinforce how wonderful it is to be a believer, because our lives are transformed. And we grow in grace. We, you know, the longer we're on the road, the more we love Jesus, the more we get to know His Word. We are truly being transformed day by day. And we are works of grace. My dad used to say trophies of grace. As we continue on this journey, and thank God for His sustaining power. But, you know, in this transformation, in those first few verses of chapter 4, there's a couple of things that should be distinct about our lives. So we shouldn't lose heart. We should keep going. We should be full of courage. And we should renounce shameful and secret ways. So this is giving some idea of what the transformation is all about. We don't use deception. And we don't distort the word of God. And that's a very important thing. Even in our generation, just talking to Rachel, talking about how even different denominations are grappling over some issues about transgenderism and homosexuality. No, we don't distort the word of God. We've got to stand on what God's word says, not what our culture dictates. So we should bring forth the word of God plainly. And we set forth the truth plainly. We commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And then it says, even if our gospel is veiled, but it's only veiled to those who reject the truth. They have unbelieving minds. But God says that we should let our light shine amongst the people, so that they can see the light of God's glory and display it in the face of Christ. So we are, that's what I was going to say, you know, the Bible is the best missionary in the mother tongue, but if people don't have a Bible, and even in the UK, as you said, many people, their Bibles are gathering dust or they've even thrown them away. But you may be the only Bible that many of them will ever read as you live out your faith and as you share your testimony. So we are a representation and we are being transformed into the image of Christ. So we are, in a sense, wonderful representatives of God on this earth. But we do need to let our lives be distinct. So it also goes on to say, so we are being transformed, but there's a process of transformation that takes place. You could also call it sanctification, that we all need to go through. And I will call it trials. So the transformation takes place. Praise God for that. But there are trials on the way that deepen our faith and cause us to reach out to our Heavenly Father more and more. So in verse 7 it says, we are like jars of clay. To show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And my body feels more and more like a jar of clay. You know, when you're young, it's a bit more flexible, but it's fragile, and it seems to be prone to chips and scuffs and cracks. So, but thank God that this is not it. This is just a temporary external jar to hold this wonderful, all-surpassing glory of God. Because one day we are going to get a permanent body that will never perish or spoil or fade. It will be a heavenly body that we are looking forward to. Our ultimate triumph when we pass through from this life into God's glory. So in this process of our transformation, there are trials on the way before we receive the great and wonderful invitation into our permanent dwelling with Jesus. But these trials, it says that we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And I know for myself, I've experienced quite a few bouts of ill health. And even when I went to India, this time into Nepal, I got Nepali belly. They call it Delhi belly when you go to the other side. But I got terrible food poisoning and really felt quite faint, and it wasn't a good feeling at all, but thank God that I did recover after about a day and a half and fasted and prayed for quite a few days thereafter, not eating Nepali food. But the previous, about 5 years ago when I went to India, I got a terrible dysentery, and I got very sick, went to hospital there, and that a night or two later, I really felt like, wow, I might die here because my drip wasn't working, and I was not in a good state. Even I felt like Satan was really laughing at me. But I just prayed and said, Lord, if I'm ready to go to be with you, so I'm going to sleep in peace. And I woke up feeling much better, forgetting about all the nursing staff and that. But praise God, I got well enough to come home. And then I got 4 bouts of what we call blood poisoning. I had this terrible thing for 15 days. I was on a drip and I couldn't get rid of this blood infection. It was a septicemia, and then I'd be okay for a week and it would come back. And you know, the chances of recovery are about only 50%, especially when you've had your third or fourth bout of this bacteria that won't leave. But praise God, I managed to recover about 3 or 4 years ago, and now I'm traveling again and I'm feeling absolutely fine. So we are hard-pressed, we get sick, our bodies are frail, and we are weak. But by the power of God and through His Holy Spirit, He can restore us and keep us going in this place. And we also had our child kidnapped. Some of you may have known of the story, but when we were missionaries in Malawi, we are not immune to trouble as believers. And thank God that after 3 days he was recovered, abandoned in some river, and brought to the police, and we were able to bring him back into our arms. So as believers, we will have persecution, we will have trouble, but we should not fear, because Christ has overcome the world. So the trials that we go through, and some of our translators, even in Myanmar, have not been able to stay in their own homes. In Nigeria, they get hunted down by Boko Haram and other Islamic groups. And a lot of our translators in Vietnam they risk their lives to do this work. So we are living in enemy territory, and we will get trials and testing. But Job says that these have come to purify us and make us like pure gold. And I would say to be a believer in the UK now is becoming more and more difficult. To really nail your colors to the mast is quite hard, because you will get hate mail, you will get persecuted, even in our country. So we need to be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves, and continue to spread the gospel wherever we can, because the days are coming where it's going to get more and more difficult for us. And the tide is changing. But praise God that the light of the gospel is shining ever brighter, as it is here this morning. To see the light of the glory of God being reflected on your faces is the most wonderful thing. That we have this treasure in jars of clay, and we are being transformed. And the last stage will be that wonderful triumphant welcome into the kingdom of God. That transformation, we will be like that. We are like worms in a pupa right now. You know, we are being developed spiritually in this jar of clay, and it will be released as a beautiful butterfly. That wonderful full transformation when we see Jesus face to face and we receive our heavenly body. And it won't look like my ugly, torn, wrecked body, one leg bigger than the other. I don't know why that's happening, but there's all sorts of funny things that happens to our bodies. But praise God, we will lay them aside and receive this glorified body. So we don't lose heart, it says. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And I want to close with this wonderful phrase that my friend said to me, who died of cancer many, many years ago. But he said, I'm not winding down, but I'm winding up, because I'm going to see Jesus one of these days. So let us be encouraged today. Thank you for your prayers for the work of Bible translation. And we have seen wonderful transformation taking place. People groups that are hopeless, they are lost and they're in darkness, and they do child sacrifices still, even in India, and a lot of places where there's terrible oppression. And when they get the glorious gospel, lives are transformed, faces begin to reflect the glory of God. And God loves people from every tribe and nation and tongue. So thank you for praying for the work of Bible translation, and even for praying for your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, because to know him is life eternal. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we are encouraged, because at times we do feel that we are weak and we can't seem to get this message out. But Lord, I pray that the light will shine even through our cracked vessels, and that we will reflect your glory, and that people will begin to ask us questions. What makes you different? And Lord, let us be bold to give them an answer to those that ask. And may we continue to trust you even in the face of trials. And many in this congregation, even right now, are facing trials. And I pray that you'd strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them. Thank you that we have something so much greater to look forward to, and help us to keep going strong and stronger than ever, because we are being changed by an ever-increasing degree of glory. So bless all my friends here this morning, and brothers and sisters in Christ, and bless us to get to that finishing line, to be triumphant, and to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So bless us, Lord, all as we part, and for those who can stay for the lunch, we look forward to that time of fellowship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Rachel.